Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clayton Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 299. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. It's good. It's another day, another Tool Shed episode, so can't complain about that. We're people are listening to this. We're on you're on island time. I'm on beach time, and it's good, man. Life is good.
Yeah, no, absolutely is. Just want to put this note out there. It is currently 9 p.m. Sunday night. This isn't releasing until Wednesday, so some of these stats are, well, all of these stats you'll hear will be a couple days outdated, but, you know, with, you know, Chris being on vacation at the beach, I'm going to be on a cruise ship, so kind of it would be hard to record, so, but we wanted to get two episodes out, so, you know, pardon the, you know, couple days of stats being a little bit off, but did want to get you all two episodes this week. Did some fun prospect standouts so far the last episode. If you missed that, go check that out. And going to do a little bit of a kind of like a mini buy-sell episode here with major leaguers as we've gotten a few weeks' worth of stats and data and, you know, guys starting off hot or cold. So it creates a little bit of a buy or sell window here for certain players. We got 10 names on the list here. Two from each of us to sell and three from each of us to buy. But before we get into those names, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and ToolShedFantasy.com for more work from each of us. And of course, check out all the other great things going on over at RotoBaller. Use that code ToolShed, get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. Let's start out with our sells here. Chris, just get those out of the way so we end the show on a positive, uplifting note. So who is your first sell?
All right. So off the bat, I'm selling Carlos Rodon. I mean, the numbers look really good on the surface so far. You know, 1.72 ERA across 15 and two-thirds innings. So much better than he looked early in the spring, because early in spring training, it was, you know, not so great, but he's bounced back. And, you know, on the surface, everything looks pretty good. Fastball velo is there. I will say the location is not, though. The location's kind of been all over the board. He's leaving it middle. It's getting hit pretty hard at this point. He's allowed two home runs on that pitch already so far. And has a 286 batting average against, which is pretty high, and just an 18% whiff rate on that fastball. So that's the first concern there. Is it just location, missing the heart of the plate? He's not generating many whiffs at all. He has just an 18.8% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate to this point. Changeup's really the only pitch missing bats for Rodon, and he's using it just 16 times all year, so not using it a ton. You look at the peripheral data, it's a 4.47 xERA and a 4.56 FIP. So I think that some regression probably is coming for Carlos Rodon in a not-so-good way, and it's not going to be positive regression happening here. I think this is the kind of profile that, you know, I look to kind of get off of if you can. I mean, he's honestly, I mean, he's faced several good teams, faced the Astros and D-backs. Last start was against the Marlins, which he looked really good. Just not missing the bats, walking batters, location's not been good. So ultimately, like, I'm just cashing out on Carlos Rodon where I can and seeing what you can get, because I'm not a believer this year, or really even long-term at all for that matter. I mean, he's been fine. Like, he's had his moments, but really the majority or his best year came in that contract year with San Francisco. That's the only year that he's made over 30 starts or threw over. You had to go back to 2016 to have found a year that he threw more than 135 innings prior to that year. You know, last year he threw just 64 innings. Just don't think he's reliable at all. And I just would rather be on the right side of this one. I'm cashing out, seeing what you can get, as I think that you may be able to get a solid arm in return that's better long term than Rodon is.
Yeah, there's just too many red flags there, and a number of red flags certainly outweigh the number of green flags. Obviously, he can be dominant when on, but yeah, it's just too much risk for me. So yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I'm going with, you know, this one could have been considered low-hanging fruit, sure, but I'm going with it anyway. I'm going Ronel Blanco of the Houston Astros, who might be the biggest sell high I've seen since Chris Shelton in 2006. Everyone remember Chris Shelton when he hit, what, like 8 home runs first 10 games or whatever it was that year. But, you know, Blanco, you know, obviously had that no-hitter, and then what was it, one hit allowed his next start? So he had like one hit allowed through 15 innings or whatever it was. And the last start wasn't quite as good as those, but still solid. So overall right now, you're looking at a guy who has a, let's see, what was it here? So in 21 innings so far, 0.86 ERA, but a 4.72 xWHIP and a strikeout minus walk ratio of less than 10%. This guy, you know, the walk rate is, you know, over 11% right now. K rate is barely, it's below average K rate. You know, not a guy that misses a lot of bats. And I don't think he is going to be honest with you. I mean, 21.1% right now. K minus walk rate is only 9.3%. You know, he goes fastball up 93.5 miles an hour. Changeup and slider both in the 85-86 mile an hour range. Throws the occasional curveball, but not really enough to be called a legit offering. And, you know, the changeup, 32.5% whiff rate, but, you know, slider doesn't miss bats. You know, and I just don't think there's a lot to like here in the profile. I mean, again, look at the strikeout minus walk rate, and it's never been good. I mean, he's always been 21-22% K rate guy. This is actually the best walk rate of his career, and it's still 11.8%. And granted, he hasn't pitched a whole lot, only 79 and a third innings total in his career, with 21 of those coming this season. But yeah, I don't think we're looking at like the next, you know, Houston Astro successor. I know they've had a lot of those, you know, over the last 5-10 years or so, but I don't think he's the next one of them. Will he stick in the rotation moving forward? Sure. Could he have some back end value? Sure. But I think some people are still value him or think that he could provide more than that. I just don't think that's going to be the case. So yeah, Ronel Blanco is my first sell here. Chris, who's your next one?
All right, so I'm kind of sticking the same well that I was in the preseason, and that's selling Nolan Jones. And this honestly feels like low-hanging fruit too. You know, everybody was way in on him this year. Obviously, I mean, he had a good year. He went 20-20 across just 424 plate appearances. So, like, that's a near 30-30 pace last year, and he slashed 297, 389, 542. But the thing was that Jones just doesn't make contact. Like, he last year had a zone contact rate of 71.5%, which was, like, you know, worst in baseball bad. So when you can't make contact on pitches in the zone, I don't care if you don't chase at all. Like, yeah, the chase rate was good. It's even better this year. Like, the contact skills have seemingly improved a little bit this year, and that's an encouraging sign so far. But I still think that Jones is a sell because he's way too passive. He is not swinging. He is working way too deep in the counts. First pitch swing rate 16% right now, which has to be among the worst in the league. His overall swing rate's at 39%. So Yeah, I think that that's certainly hurting Nolan Jones. I mean, he's currently slashing 190, 271, 333. So, you know, may not be like an ideal time to sell by any means, but I kind of just want to get out from under him. Like, I think that this is a profile that's going to be really volatile due to the contact skills and not really a type of player that I love to roster. Yeah, I mean, he's got power. He's kind of shown average EV and hard hit rate are like 87th and 90th percentile respectively. And his sprint speed's, you know, 87th percentile, so really good power speed. But it doesn't matter if he's not getting on base enough. And he's not obviously getting the power because he's not making enough contact. And I think that's a little bit of concern for me. He's hitting more balls on the ground this year, which is a little bit of a concern. The launch angle, you look at it, it looks a little better, but the ground ball rate is up a hair. And the strikeouts, I mean, 38%. It's just a factor of him working way too deep into counts and not getting good pitches to hit. And I think that's always going to be an issue for him. It's going to mean he's pretty volatile. So I'm fairly out on Nolan Jones, and I think you can still cash out because I think there's still some name value, and it is a small sample, but I was rather out before the year, and I think that people are still buying in based on name value, and I just don't really want anything to do with Nolan Jones at this point. Yeah, certainly he's better in OBP league, but average league, he might really hurt you there. So I'd trade him if you could.
Yeah, you know, I do think he's obviously better than what he's shown this year. And there are still some fun metrics in the profile. But yeah, there's some red flags as well that you hit on. So I think he's going to be one of those streaky guys. I mean, you know, maybe he should be valued similarly to, you know, how a guy like Christopher Morel is. Obviously, there's a lot of upside there, and you know, he can go in benders where, you know, he's an impact player for you and really help you out for a few weeks, but then kind of goes, you know, back into his shell and goes into hiding for a few weeks as well. So kind of a, you know, very frustrating kind of, you know, profile to invest in. So yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to getting out from underneath that. You know, my next guy here, Oswaldo Cabrera from the Yankees. So we get two Yankees here in the cell, you know, in 49 play appearances, you know, 289, 347, 533 slash line. He's hit three home runs so far, and he's running, you know, really good zone contact rate, over 90%. It's pretty solid. Whiff rate, chase rate are both decent as well. But first off, like, there's not a whole lot of power upside here. I mean, look at his X slug. It's only 350. It was 309 last year, 361 year before that. So I think he's really overperforming the power. You know, quality of contact, it's okay. 88 mile an hour exit velocity, 38% hard hit rate aren't terrible. Only has one barrel though overall this year, but I also wonder where he fits in when, you know, some guys are back, especially a guy like DJ LeMahieu, who you know is going to get into the lineup again. Yeah, he could get hurt again because he's a little bit older, and you know the durability is starting to become a question with DJ. But at the same time, you know he's going to get back into the lineup and at least eat a chunk of Cabrera's time, who's been playing at third base. And as long as, you know, Rizzo stays healthy and when DJ's back, I just kind of question where, you know, Cabrera fits in and how much does he play. So, you know, I'm not a big believer in the profile. I think he could be all right, but I think that perceived value has jumped a bit too high right now. I think it helps he's on the Yankees. If he was on Pittsburgh, probably wouldn't have, because like, who's talking about another hot start this year with Connor Joe right now? Not as many as Oswaldo Cabrera. So I think definitely the team context plays in a little bit here to the hype, because he's in the spotlight of being on the New York Yankees. But yeah, I think the value is definitely gonna, you know, has a much higher chance of ticking down than up moving forward. So I mean, obviously you're not gonna get like a huge return for a guy like Oswaldo Cabrera, but you know, maybe you can cash out, get a, you know, decent prospect or something like that, or a different piece that can help you more long term than Cabrera can. So those are our four sells. So Carlos Rodon, Ronel Blanco, Nolan Jones, and Oswaldo Cabrera. Now we have a six-pack of buys for you. Chris is starting out with a pretty intriguing Oakland player.
The buys are much more fun, I will say that.
You know, absolutely.
I never like talking sales, but you have to do it. It's inevitable. And yeah, right. I think that obviously is a big deal, is buying and selling at the right time. But I'm buying Lawrence Butler, who on the surface doesn't look all that great. You know, 217, 333, 348. Far from ideal right now when you just look at that. He's got a homer and a stolen base each. So, okay, like, you know, not so great, but he has been picking it up. You know, he has, you know, his last three games, five hits. And he's coming off a three-hit game as we're recording this right now. And you look under the hood, things actually look pretty good with Lawrence Butler. And I think he's going to be a little bit better than people think. You know, his average EV is 94 miles an hour. He's hitting the mess out of the ball. Very hard contact consistently. 13.5% barrel rate, 50% hard hit rate. Those are both 80th percentile or better. We're talking about a young 23-year-old who's, you know, really coming into his own in his first full MLB season. He got a cup of coffee last year to end the year. And you know, I know that you look and the contact rates are kind of hurting him a bit, but you know, I do think that that continues to evolve and come around. And he's going to be all right. Like, he doesn't chase. This is really like, you know, he's not cut from all that dissimilar of a cloth than Nolan Jones is, like the sense that there's power and speed. You know, the contact skills are better with Jones, but I will say that, you know, Butler's at least a little more aggressive, sense that, you know, he's not going to work as deep into counts. He swings at a 45% clip. There is more whiff, so that's obviously concerning. And I'm not directly comparing, you know, Butler and Jones, but what I am saying is that I think that, you know, Butler is a little bit underrated, and I do think there is more to come. I know this Oakland lineup is not all that fascinating by any means, but, you know, there is some intrigue here. He's walking. He's not chasing. He's hitting the ball hard. So I think that Butler is a good buy. I think that, you know, people may look at those surface numbers and say, oh, he's not any good. He's got a 681 OPS. But I do think that better days are coming for Lawrence Butler, and we'll see him be a really solid asset. He may end up being a platoon. Yeah, he's, you know, not the best against left-handed bat, not the best against lefties, but I mean, it works. Look at work for Josh Lowe last year, who, you know, went to 2030, if I'm not mistaken. So you can be in a platoon and it work. So I think that may be the case here with Butler. Shield him from lefties. The numbers are going to look a little better because he don't have a hit against lefties so far this year, which obviously isn't good. So, I mean, I think that Butler's a pretty interesting target, and I'd look to see what he cost. Probably not all that much, and I think you can get you know, get him for not all that much. So I'd take a chance there.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a pretty fun profile there with Butler. So yeah, I definitely would take a stab on him as well. My first buy is going to be Jordan Westberg from the Baltimore Orioles, and he kind of has gone under the radar with how good of a season he's had so far. With everyone's obviously Jackson Holliday getting called up, and Colton Cowser going berserk if I gain to the lineup. Where's Kobe Mayo? You know, a guy like Westberg, and even Ryan Mountcastle's had a pretty solid season as well. But Westberg, in 56 plate appearances, has three home runs, two steals, and a 265, 345, 510 slash line. The quality of contact, which was, you know, decent last year, has ticked up across the board. Looking at a 13.5% barrel rate, 94 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 59.5% hard hit rate. He's improved the strikeout rate, you know, about 5.5% as well. Still walking in a below average clip, but that's probably always who he's going to be. He's seeing more fly balls, which is good to see too. Cut the ground ball rate. The contact rate has gone down, so that is kind of like the red flag here. But, you know, given what we saw from him throughout his minor league career and then last year, I mean, I'm not overly worried about the contact rate becoming, you know, a red flag or detriment to his profile. I think he's still going to be, you know, around league average in the long run here. So. And if he can do that while still having these quality of contact gains that he's had, you know, he's still a solid runner, 83rd percentile sprint speed right now. I mean, looking at a guy that I think if you give him a full season worth of at-bats, you know, 600, 650 plate appearances, something like that, he could surprise you and put up like a Dansby Swanson type of season. I think that's the upside we're talking about here with Westberg. And if he's given enough plate appearances, that he could be like a top 75, top 100 guy. Obviously, still trying to get, you know, Kobe Mayo into the lineup. What does that look like? But Westbrook has definitely earned, you know, to keep his spot so far. Maybe there's a trade down the road. Who knows how this all works out long term and what the team looks like, you know, 2 months from now or even next year this time. But Westberg has the skills to be a pretty fun fantasy player and one that might bring you dual eligibility, second, third. You know, maybe he gets back to shortstop at some point. If he were to leave, that'd probably be something if he left Baltimore. But a lot of fun here with Westberg, and I think he's just being overshadowed right now by the bigger, flashier names in this organization. Obviously, he's still got Gunner and Adley Rutschman, Christian Rodriguez, and Westberg kind of flies under the radar. I think that makes him a pretty good buy right now. And I already have a couple of shares, and I'll be keep trying to get even more of them. But all right, Chris, who is your next one?
I'm actually going to take Ty France here, who I think France is, you know, obviously on the surface, his performance has not been all that great. I mean, he's slashing 280, 308, 320. He's running a 628 OPS. So you're looking at a little bit of a deeper league buy here with France. But go look at a Savant page and tell me that this man hasn't improved and is going to see better days. I mean, you look and he went, I hate to use the term, he went to driveline, but he went to driveline and dude had some power. I mean, his average EV right now is 94 miles an hour. It's up from 87.5 last year, 12% barrel rate, 11 degree launch angle, 51% sweet spot rate. Like, he fine tuned his swing. Dude's having incredibly bad luck right now. He's running a 330, and I don't like, you know, the XBA. I don't love X stats. 330 though, XBA. 565 X slug compared to a 320 actual slug. Yeah, I mean, you look under the hood and everything's there. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. His 60% hard hit rate's 98th percentile. Sweet spot percentage is 97th percentile. You see the average exit velocity, 95th percentile. Like, France has power, and it's just oddly, like, he's hitting the ball right at people. You know, you look, the whiff rate is a little bit concerning. Like, he is whiffing a little bit more than he has in the past. But, you know, I don't think at the end of the day it's all that bad. It's actually just a touch up from last year. But his zone contact rate is still at 87%. And he's chasing it just a 26% clip. So I'm looking at everything and I'm like, why in the world is Ty France not getting results? Like, why does the slash line look so bad? And 320 slug, that's not good at all. But considering how hard he's hitting the ball, considering that he's putting so many balls in play, and honestly, like, at pretty good launch angles, I think the results come. So Ty France is not, probably dropped in your league. He may not even be rostered in a lot of your leagues, but I do think that Ty France is a buy. I mean, he's hitting a ton of line drives. He's smoking baseballs. Yeah, I think that you go out and look at France in a, like, 15-team or deeper league, somebody that really helps you and probably doesn't cost you anything at all, I do think better days are ahead. I'm actually just kind of shocked that, you know, he's running an OPS as low as he is, that he has just two extra base hits. Like, those things are going to come. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in on Ty France, and I think that we see him come around. So I target him where you can.
Yeah, there's a lot of struggling hitters in that Seattle lineup right now. It's been pretty rough up there offensively for Seattle, but yeah, definitely France is one of those guys that, I mean, he's, I don't want to say he's a boring name, but that's kind of what he is. So those guys often are undervalued and don't cost a lot to get. So yeah, definitely a solid one there. I'm going to go to the pitching well here and go with Nicola Dolo, who just came back, and yes, it was against the White Sox. I get it, but that was a really impressive, you know, debut and comeback after only making seven starts last year, and 5 2/3 to give up any runs, only one walk and one hit allowed, with 10 strikeouts. And you look at Lodolo, and obviously, you know, has to pitch half his games in Great American Ballpark, but he's shown in the past he is that combination of bat missing stuff and, you know, a solid ground ball rate. You know, each of the last 2 years, it was above 45%. That's kind of what you need. You know, that's why Hunter Green has had so much trouble, is that he's not a high ground ball rate guy. He gives up too many home runs, too many hard hit balls in the air, and it's really kind of limited him and caused a lot of inconsistent performance. But Lodolo, I mean, I think the Lodolo we saw in 2022 was legit. And even last year, he had a 22.3% K minus walk rate last year in his seven outings, even on the surface. ERA and whip were 6.29 and 1.75 respectively. He was pitching a lot better than kind of those, the ERA and whip would indicate. And if you look at, so he has 143 in a third innings in his career. So 22, 23, and 24. And if, that includes the one start yesterday or over the weekend, I should say. And if you look at pitchers since the start of 2022, have at least 140 innings pitched. Nick Lodolo is tied for 12th in strikeout minus walk rate at 22% on the nose. He's right behind Freddy Peralta and Tarik Skubal, right ahead of Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler and Joe Ryan and a lot of other good names too. So this shows you kind of the upside that Lodolo has. And you know, I think he's a really strong buy right now. I like him more long-term than Hunter Green. You know, Green's the buzzier name. I get it. You know, it's the huge velocity, has, you know, a bit more K upside. But I think Lodolo, I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, which obviously coming off a year where he had seven starts is a concern, but health permitting, I like him better long-term. I think he's a safer pitcher in Great American Ballpark with a good amount of upside as well. So he's one of my favorite buys right now in general, regardless of hitter or pitcher or, you know, major leaguer or minor leaguer right now for Dynasty League. So, yeah, Lodolo, strong buy for me right now. All right, we got one more each here, Chris. Who are you going with to close out yours?
Yeah, I'll first say that I think Lodolo is an excellent buy. I'm actually shocked that people kind of let him fall as much as they did, like in rankings. Great. I mean, he was hurt, and he wasn't even like an arm injury. So, yeah, I look at Lodolo's track record, and yeah, you know, I'm way in there. But I'm also relatively in here on Ivan Herrera if you need a catcher for Dynasty, which, you know, maybe you do. Most people probably do, you know, depending on your league depth. I think Herrera is taking a job and potentially going to run with it here, where he's been red hot. He's hitting the ball very hard. And this was somebody that I was just guilty of being way too low on until, you know, I went back and did my Cardinals team by team prospect evaluations. It's like, man, Herrera made a lot of strong strides last year. And all right, maybe this guy could be something. And he's needed the chance at playing time, and he's getting that now. He's got three home runs so far this year, and the slash line's interesting. It's 294, 297 OBP in a 559 slug. Not walking at all. It's one walk, 3% walk rate. And he's not striking out either, though. He's just putting so many balls in play, which is the encouraging thing, while hitting the ball at elite angles and barreling it up well. I mean, 21.5% barrel rate, 13-degree launch angle, 40% sweet spot, a 601X slug. I mean, he's doing it. He's doing it really well. And I think that ultimately we see Herrera potentially take this spot and run with it. You know, I mean, the Cardinals are an interesting team construct, and it's rather hard for players to break in. But I think there's a chance here that Herrera begins to play more often than not. You know, I mean, I know he didn't play Friday, Saturday. He was back in the lineup on Sunday, but he's been catching pretty regularly. Contreras has been DHing some too. You know, this is going to be pretty interesting because now with Newt Barr back, there's, you know, another body to fill this lineup. But I think Herrera is going to do enough to, you know, consistently get that playing time. And I think Herrera is just going to give you really solid numbers at that catcher position where he makes really good contact. I mean, he's 87.2% zone contact right now. He's not swinging and missing often at all in general. And he is chasing him. That's part of who he is. Like, he's aggressive. But when you make the kind of contact he does, I don't really care if he chases. But he's putting so many balls in play, and he's making things happen, that it just makes me want to get some Ivan Herrera places because, you know, at some point, I mean, he's 23. Once he gets regular at-bats, this guy might be a top-five dynasty catcher. He's got that kind of bat and upside where I'm really intrigued by the potential.
Yeah, that playing time should probably only go up from here. And yeah, he's a guy where I did my rest of season rankings. I moved him way up at catcher. I think it was like 15th or 16th overall. It's definitely kind of getting into that near that C1 territory. And yeah, just more playing time. That should only go up for sure. I will also round up my buys here with the catcher. And I'm going to Logan O'Hoppe. He was off to a really hot start to the season. And I'm, you know, buying in. Obviously, he's not going to hit 364 moving forward, but this is a guy that so far proved the strikeout rate 5% from 24.1 to 19.1, and the walk rate from 7% to 10.5%, kind of getting back to, you know, the approach numbers that we saw from him as a prospect coming up through the minor leagues. back when he was with the Los Angeles Angels. And quality of contact has been very good as well. 9.5% barrel rate, 92.2 mile an hour average exit velocity, which is up nearly 2 miles an hour from last year. Hard hit rate up nearly 10% from last year, up to 56.3%. And still running, you know, the zone contact is slightly below average, but not bad at all. It's actually cut the whiff rate by 6.5% as well. Only has one home run to show for it so far, but I think you'll see more home runs come. I think this is a guy that's going to be a potential top five catcher this year. You know, a guy that can get right up into like the back end of tier one as a potential, you know, 270 hitter that can give you a strong OBP as well. And, you know, maybe 25 home runs or so. I think that's really the upside we're looking at here with Ohapi. I've been a big fan of him for a while, especially ever since I saw him play out in Arizona a couple of years back. And you look at, there's a lot of red on the Savant page right now. So I think the arrow is pointing up here, and I think he's still a good buy because I don't think the perceived value has really caught up. And again, I think the value is only going to keep going up. So now is a good time to get in before that price tag continues to rise as the year plays on here. But that is going to wrap us up. You know, the first buy sell episode of the year. Obviously, we'll have more of these throughout the season. Maybe do a prospect one once we get a little more time in at every level besides AAA. A little bit early to do some prospects and a buy sell, but that is going to wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you're checking out everything over at RotoBaller and both of our personal platforms as well. And we'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.